strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, it's Phil. How you doing, Phil?
What's going on, Taryn? I'm just totally, totally engrossed and just loving everything that the season has given me. I feel like, you know, there's usually in a lot of Big Brother seasons, there's like one great player who's like playing everyone else. And here we're kind of getting a lot of people who are pretty decent, but they're trying to really implement a lot of strategies. So it's something that like, but it's a lot of people trying to implement a lot of different strategy. And even though some of these people are kind of clueless as to what's going on, they're at least trying something. So it's a long way for me to say I'm having a ball and I'm excited to talk with you, Taryn.
They're certainly trying, I think, is definitely the best way to describe it. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feed. It was day 23 in the house, and really what we've been seeing in this game so far is that everybody is at a relatively equivalent level of skill. There are a couple of players that are a bit worse than the others, but most people are just kind of like hanging out there in the like maybe probably slightly below average range. And basically whoever is in power gets to say whatever they want and everyone else will just believe them because they're in power. And that's basically what's happening, where it's like people are just lying and then other people are just taking it as fact. But then also assuming that they could be lying about some things, but that the basics of what they're saying must be true because they can't fathom that all of it must just be a lie. We'll get into it. It's just,
Taryn, if you win HOH, obviously like you have to tell the truth for the rest of the house. Like that's kind of just in the Big Brother rules. And you know, it's just, you have to tell the truth and everyone believes it. Yeah. It's just completely absurd. It's something that, you know, you don't really see in that much in Big Brother, but it's so much fun to watch these people just struggle to like every time you have people have a conversation, they always grab the wrong piece of information and they'll take that and they'll bring that to some other people and be like, oh, this is what's happening, even though it's not really what's happening. But it's just so much fun to watch all of this happen.
Yes. Well, let me tell you guys, yesterday was a very messy day on the feeds. It happens because Kiefer has a plan, right? His plan for the day is that with Ro having won the veto, he needs to put up a replacement nominee. The replacement nominee is going to be Austin, but he does not want the blood on his hands. He does not want to piss off Brayden. He wants to be able to keep that relationship. And so he is going to try to do, and again, this is like people who kind of understand what they should be doing, but not really knowing how to execute it. And so the idea is he's going to blame the house, quote unquote, the house for this. This is not my decision. It's a house decision. Everyone has been saying this. Except that is a very confusing thing to say when literally nobody wanted Austin on the block as a pawn. So many people wanted Vic. Other people would have wanted other things. Some people wanted Austin gone as a target. Like nobody was like, and here's the thing, too. The problem with let me go with a house consensus pawn is that the house doesn't care who the pawn is. They just don't want it to be them. If the target is still Kyle, then it doesn't make sense that the entire house would come together and be like, Kiefer, it's very important that Austin is the pawn in this situation. Like, why? It would only make sense to do that if Austin was the target. And so this is going to cause a lot of confusion and a lot of running around and talking in circles today.
Yeah, you know, it's the classic Big Brother thing where if you're not HOH, you always say, oh, I'm just going to do what the HOH wants. Just HOH is weak. I'm going to just follow them. And then when you're HOH, it's the same thing where you're like, oh, I'm just going with what the house wants. I'm just going with what everyone else is saying, even though, you know, we'll get Ro, we'll get Kyle, we'll get Austin, we'll get Brayden. Everyone will be pitching, hey, Kiefer, maybe we should put up, you know, maybe we should put up Vic. But and then obviously Kiefer is just like, well, I mean, we'll see what's going to happen, but I'm going to go with the house consensus. So I'm going to just kind of follow what the house wants, regardless of what you're telling me and what other people have been telling me all day. It's so funny, even though it's Kiefer's kind of only defense, because I think Kiefer knows, unless like one of his alliance members wins HOH, he's probably going up next week. So he's trying to say like, you know, this is just what I'm going with the flow, with what the house wants. I don't want a bigger target on myself than I already have. But at this point, the damage is already done. I think he, like, you know, Kiefer is going up on the block. He's probably going to go up on the block next week if, you know, one of his alliance members don't win anyways. So I think he should rather, you know, even though I think putting up Austin is not the worst move for his game ultimately.
I mean, I think that this is one of those times, and I feel like I've been saying this about the Sunsetters since the start, but just like, keep it simple, guys. All Kiefer needs to do as soon as Ro wins that veto is go to Austin and say, look, Austin, I'm sorry, but obviously I have to nominate another person, and I know that you will be safe. And here's the thing, you know, there were two people that put me on the block. I think that Vic is more likely to go home if she goes up as a pawn. I know that you have a lot of support. You used me as a pawn. I'm going to do the same to you. I'm sorry.
That's all it should be. But I do think there are some benefits to what Kiefer's doing, like a little bit of a benefit where you were going to see later on, like, you know, because the Sunsetters are trying to pull in Victoria. And so because of this, you know, they're really roping in Victoria on this grand lie that they're coming up with and trying to make her feel included in with whatever the Sunsetters are trying to plan to do. But even though, you know, Victoria is going to go her own way if she wins HOH again, regardless. So trying to pull her in to like say, hey, you're with us 100% is not really going to work out in their favor, I think.
Yeah, they're really trying to rile her up. But the thing is, you can do that regardless of how you approach Austin, right? Because they rile her up with the Kyle and Ro stuff. But so Kiefer talks to Brayden. And this is sort of how Kiefer approaches this here with Brayden. And subsequently the rest of, you know, the oddballs, at least, minus Victoria, and Tina and Tara, Carb, I'll say Carb. And so, he says to Brayden, look, I'm torn between two options. I've been pitched two options. And Bray is like, am I one of those options? And Kiefer's like, no, definitely not. Two people that put me up on the block. He really likes Brayden. He doesn't want anything to interfere with their relationship. He wants to go with the house consensus and get as little blood on his hands as possible. He talks a lot about blood yesterday. He says he has a lot of people pushing him toward one option. And Brayden is just like, I've noticed that, this is sort of why Brayden is a good social player, is that, he understands that, like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to agree with anything that anybody says to me. And he's like, yeah, great. Cool. Do what you want, man. It's not me. Awesome. I completely agree with everything that you're saying, even though I don't fully understand it.
Yeah, I think Brayden's really good at kind of just like shutting his mouth. Like, we'll see, you know, Kiefer say to Brayden, like, you know, it's the house's impression that, you know, Kyle, Ro, Bray, and Austin are together, you know, Carb, if you will, that's what we're going to call them. And, you know, and Bray's just really good. Brayden is really good at saying, you know, Of course. Yeah, that's what you guys are thinking. He doesn't really let out that much. You're just like, oh, well, you know, me and Austin are close, but, you know, I guess that's just like the house's impression. Like, he's very good at not really giving Kiefer that much, which I think is, again, good. But again, he's letting Kiefer feel still comfortable in like telling him all this stuff. You know, it's not like, you know, Kiefer's now sussed out about whatever about what Braden's thinking about during the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that frustrates me about Braden is that he is clearly a player who is good socially. And there are a few good social players in this game. But he just needs to be like more actively playing the game strategically to like be a good player. And he hasn't been up until this point. It seems like this whole Austin business may be kicking him into gear a bit. In fact, I saw him talking this morning. He's been, you know, he's starting to do some stuff, but I'm still just concerned that, like, does he even know what he should be doing if he doesn't really know the show all that well? We'll see. We'll see. I feel like there's potential there in Braden, but I have a feeling it's going to go unrealized this season.
Yeah, there was a couple times I remember like today and also like throughout the week where him and Austin would be like, oh, should we be playing right now? Should we like play Big Brother? Should we try some strategy? All right. Yeah, let's do that. And so, you know, obviously that should not be the main mentality for going into the house. You should not be like, oh, maybe I'll play Big Brother today and then tomorrow I'll do an off day. Like, you know, Tony and Jeremy's like off day when you're playing the game thing. But yeah, that's kind of his one fault, like you're saying. And I wish he kind of put his foot on the gas more often, but I'm still kind of enjoying what I'm getting from Braden. And I think Braden's going to be someone who's going to stick around for a little bit. Although I don't know if he has it 100% in him to, you know, win the game at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'd need to start turning it on in competitions or start turning it on strategically, because it's not going to work as is. And he's probably going to lose Austin along the way, which will probably be a good thing for him. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. So Tina and Tara are going to talk a bit. They still feel like the other Sunsetters, Ty and Jed and them, don't really trust them. And now they're feeling like Kyle and Roe are going to be mad at them too, because they're not stumping for Kyle and Roe with Kiefer. And so they're kind of feeling like this whole middle game is a tough business for Tina and Tara. And Tara really says, like, we got to win. We got to win next week. That's what we got to do. It's like, it's just that's the point of the middle, is that you don't have to win.
Yeah, I will say, though, what I'm liking so much about this season is that it's not really, you know, people in the beginning were saying, oh, this is just like BB6 or BB20, where it's just these two sides that are really, really duking it out. But I really think that the game at this point is going to be a lot more fluid. You know, I think the oddballs kind of really doesn't exist that much anymore, and the Sunsetters are kind of crumbling. So now it's a lot more fluid. So I'm excited for the middle part of the game, you know, where Tina and Tara are kind of in the middle. And so, again, like you're saying, they shouldn't want to win because the game is so fluid now. But I don't really know if they're seeing it that way. They might still be seeing it more as, you know, like, this is the two side game and we need to win for our side, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're in kind of an interesting spot here. Kiefer is going to tell them that they should start working on getting closer to Austin and Braden. I imagine because he feels like he is going to sort of lose out on that relationship. So if Tina and Tara are in with them, that's probably a good thing. They are going to start doing that yesterday. They're going to be talking with them a bit. And they've already been talking with them again this morning. So there's even been talk of like reuniting part of the oddballs. So that is becoming a thing as well. But again, I want to just like, again, preface this update by saying that with everything that was going on yesterday, like this is like an intermediate. This is a temporary update. This is none of this. I doubt if I were to make a guess, I would tell you that by Thursday of this week, 75% of what I say today will not stick.
It'll right? be out the window.
It's
yeah.
just, it's just like, like throughout the day, things were changing multiple times in terms of who people were targeting, who was loyal to who. Like this is, it's just a mess of messiness right now. And I think that really what we need to do is just kind of like wait and see how things play out and where things start to solidify. Because as of right now, it's just a huge, just like, it's like everything's been thrown into the stew and we're just waiting for it to cook.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's a lot of it is just because emotions and tensions are really, really running high in this house. A lot of the people do think a little bit strategically, but they also do have like a high, like emotional side that does always come out to play. And I feel like everyone in the house is really, really like power hungry at this point. They want to like to be the one to say, this is exactly what's going to happen this week. I'm the one who's dictating it, but no one really has it in them to actually, you know, pull that off. So this is why we're getting a lot of like, you know, flip flopping back and forth where, you know, everyone wants to dictate what's going on in the game, but you know, no one can really actually can actually do that in the end.
Right. And it's also because it's like because nobody was sure who the replacement nominee was going to be and like what it meant and who was saying who should be on the block. It's like until the ceremony happens and the nominations are locked in and they start discussing this is what the vote is going to be. Like, you know, people like Kyle Rowe, Austin Braden, people who are kind of in the dark about it, don't really know how they're going to react because they didn't know what it was going to be. And so they're sort of reacting in different ways. And that means that the other players who, even if they did know what was going to happen, are like, well, we don't know how other people are going to react. This is how they're reacting right now. And this is how we feel about that right now. But when they react differently, we're going to feel differently. And so it's, again, I think we have to wait until the ceremony. I would say by tomorrow, by Wednesday, we'll start to have a much better idea of what we're looking at heading into the next HOH, which will probably still be some kind of this side wins, they're targeting these sets of people, this side wins, they're targeting these sets of people. But I don't exactly know what those sides will look like at the moment. If I were to guess, I'll make a guess after I get through the update, because there are some things that will inform what my guess is right now.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
So anyway, Kiefer is also going to talk to Roe. This is an awkward conversation. Keith tells Roe that he wants to go with House Consensus, no blood. Roe really tries to get the point across to Kiefer that he is I'm a rational player, Keith.
What, are you kidding me? I'm the most calm, cool, and collected person in this house.
Yeah. And so he says, no matter what happens on a personal level, on a game level, he's always going to make the rational choice. He also mentions that he hates it when people just vote for their friends in the end when they're on the jury. That is not him. He's going to vote for the best player. He's going to respect the game. Kiefer agrees, but, you know, this agreeing is not the same as saying it, right? Kiefer says, look, I'm feeling like I'm being pressured into putting up one person because people keep coming in here and telling me that they think I should do something because there's one person who's on a lonely island. That makes me feel like they're telling me that if I don't do what they think I should do, that they might come for me. And Rose like, well, that's not what I'm telling you. I will just tell you. Just my thoughts, if I were you, is I agree. Putting up somebody who is by themselves and not in a pair is probably a good idea. But I'm not saying that I'll come for you again. I'm a rational player. And Keith's like, well, it still kind of feels like you're trying to make me do so the thing that you want me to do. And Rose's like, nah, absolutely not. And it's just like these two people could not be on further pages apart.
Yeah, I love these kind of conversations. One thing that always like that stuck out to me is the lonely island or just like the island word, which I feel like I've heard before. Like I remember, like I think like it's been identified now that like Kyle said that, like, you know, like Braden said that, or maybe it was just like Roe and Austin who said that. But I remember I've heard that. It's just funny how like these kind of words can just get passed around back and forth in the house. And, you know, once one person says it, now everyone's thinking about, okay, now who's the island? Is it, you know, Vic, we got to take out Vic who's on the island because everyone else has a pair. I don't know. That was something that stuck out to me. That was just interesting that I guess that just happens in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. I mean, it's here's the thing too, where it's like the people in this game don't understand that they don't have a say in what the HOH does. Like they keep going up to the HOH and being like, here's what you should do. And they feel like if enough people tell the HOH that they think that they, the HOH should do a thing, then the HOH will do that thing. It happened last week with the Sunsetters to Vic. They were like, well, if we all go up to Vic and tell her to put up Kyle, she'll definitely put up Kyle. So they all did. And then they all got caught saying Kyle's name. And now this week, it's the opposite. We're all the oddballers. We're like, look, if we go up to Kiefer and tell him to put up Vic, then he'll put up Vic. And it's just like the HOH is asking for what my thoughts are. Well, here are my thoughts. Put up Vic. It's like, no, that is a trap. The HOH doesn't care what you think. The HOH will make up their own mind. Yeah. You are just walking straight into a hole. And this is Big Brother 101. This is the most basic form of how to play Big Brother, is that you get HOH and then you go, what do you think I should do? And then you use that information to bury people. And so to fall into that trap, not once, not twice, but so many times over the course of the last few days, and then also encourage other people, hey, do you see this trap? It's a great looking hole. I'm sure there are no spikes at the bottom of it. Would you please kindly just jump into it with me? I feel like it'll be a great idea. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's the type of thing where as soon as a lot of people come up to you about this one thing, it's like, this thing is probably best for your games, but it's not going to be best for my game. And Kiefer is someone who is very, very, Kiefer is self-interested, even though he says, you know, I'm just going with what the house wants. He's just saying that. Obviously, Kiefer is going to want to go with what he wants, not even with what, you know, Jed and Ty want. So, you know, it is Kiefer. We're going to see a lot in this week and just in even in today. He's kind of like he wants to be treated like the Godfather or something like that. He wants people to come into the HOH and really kiss the ring. But, you know, and so I think Roe is not really doing a good job of doing so. He's kind of just telling Kiefer, here's what like a smart person should do. Here's what, you know, a good player should do. But Kiefer in Kiefer's head is like, who's the smart player? Is it you or is it me? I'm the smart player. I'm going to be the one to, you know, put up whoever I want. So yeah, this is totally, of course, going to backfire in, you know, Rowan and Kyle's face, but you know, it's very exciting to see.
And this is what I mean when I say that like people are just taking the HOH's word for it, no matter how bad the lie is or ridiculous it is. Like, Ro's going to talk with Kyle after this, and Braden's going to join, but they're just talking about like, Ro is like trying to interpret the things that Kiefer said to him. It's like, he's saying that there have been a lot of people that are pitching one name to him. He said, nobody's pitching Vic other than us. And he said that a lot of people have been pitching Austin. And he said that he doesn't want to get blood on his hands. Like, who's telling him he's getting blood on his hands? And they're like trying to figure out like what is they're trying. It's like they think that he gave them a riddle to solve. And it's just no, he's just vamp. He's just BSing. He's just saying whatever he needs to say to get you out of his room, to get as little blame on himself as possible. It's not that deep. But like they feel like they need to somehow fit reality into the puzzle of what Kiefer said, Which like, again, it implies that they think that Kiefer is withholding information from them and trying to deceive them in some way, but still must be giving them glimmers of truth. But it's like, no, not necessarily.
Yeah, Kiefer literally says in that conversation, like, you know, like the people who've said, you know, to put up Vic to me are just you, Kyle, and Austin. You guys have been the ones saying this same name, you know? And so it's like, now I know, like, you completely, you outlined who you're working with. So you can even later on try to say you're not working with Austin, but if the people who are saying Vic to me are the are this group of people, you know, they're probably working together, you know. So again, they're just kind of outlining who they're working with, even though they're trying, they think they're doing a good job of hiding it, even though they're clearly not. But this conversation is not, again, it's not really working out for Rowan, I would say.
Yeah, so the theory they come up with, and Brayden comes in and tells them a little bit of what Kiefer said to him as well. The theory that Roe comes up with, he's like, well, it must be, if he's saying that other people are pitching for Austin to go up, it must be Ty, Jed, and Beth that are pitching for Austin to go up. If Ty, Jed, and Beth are pitching for Austin to go up, and this is what I was talking about before at the start of the update, it doesn't make sense for them to be pitching for somebody to go up as a pawn. So they must be pitching for Austin to go up as the backdoor target, which is pretty ridiculous, except a few days ago, they were pitching for her to go up as the backdoor target. So I can't be too judgmental here of Ro. But that is what he's starting to think here a little bit. And so those guys are snakes. And so now Ty, Jed, and Beth, talking about throwing the veto to Ro and Kyle to get some brownie points, have now completely exposed their position to Ro, Kyle, Austin, and Brayden, because now Kiefer is nominating Austin, and now like everything's coming out. This was such a terrible decision to want one of the people to come off the block. It was just a total bad decision. Kyle says, if I leave this week, you cannot trust those guys.
Yeah, again, just keep it simple, stupid. Like, sorry to say that, but it's true. Just, mm-hmm. You know, there's no need to, you know, go out of your way to develop all these plans. Like, it doesn't really make that much sense, but I guess when you're in the Big Brother house, all this paranoia will just build and build and build and build and build. And then, you know, you don't know what way you're looking at, but that's the fun of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Brayden's going to go to Austin and let Austin know what Kiefer told him, and that Ro thinks that she might be the target. And she starts to like physically shake and starts spiraling out of control. She is not going to be, I think, a player that handles adversity very well. She starts to panic. She goes into the bedroom to be by herself. And then when Jed comes in, she starts crying. And that is going to be a whole thing. And Kiefer's going to be like, I can't believe she's crying. She did this to me. You know, it's a big mess.
Yeah. You know, but all day we're going to get Austin being like, oh my God, I'm going to vomit. I'm going to vomit. Oh my God. Like
literally, I'm going to vomit.
Which, you know, and she's going to say later on that, you know, she's crying to, you know, play up the fact, and she does and eventually like fake cry. But, you know, Austin is still not really handling this well. You know, she's saying she's playing up the crying, but she's saying that because she is going to cry regardless. You know, she's very emotional.
Yeah. She was alone with Brayden, and he was like, oh my God, you're physically shaking right now. And she's like on the verge of tears, like, I'm going to vomit. And then later she's like, yeah, I was fake crying to people. Like, Austin,
no,
come on.
Yeah, no, that is not what was happening, Austin. But it's still fun to see Austin, you know, get this freaked out over this, because this is what they want. You know, they want Austin to be this freaked out, even though, again, their plan, Kiefer's plan, is not really working that much, because Austin, this is Austin's first kind of clue that, you know, maybe I am going to go up? Like, what? Because, you know, if Kiefer's saying I'm just going with what the house wants, and everyone's saying, yo, put up Victoria, Kiefer. And then Austin's still kind of hearing that, you know, she might go up. I think, you know, this shows that Kiefer's plan is not really working out that well in his favor. If Austin's getting a clue of the fact that, you know, her game might be in trouble right now.
Mm-hmm. Tina, Tara, and Ro are going to be talking. This is, again, Ro and Kyle have had a lot of conversations with Tina and Tara about, like, you got to go. You got to say Vic is a bad person and that we're really cool people and that you would want to hang out with us and Kiefer should hang out with us and that he shouldn't put us on the block and he should put Vic on the block. And he's having another one of those conversations with Tina and Tara. And Tara just loses it. She's like, what more do you want me to do, Ro? What do you want me to do? I've been talking to them plenty. And he's like, I just wanted you to say Vic. That's it. That's all I wanted.
Yeah. Again, because I think this is all kind of Ro and Kyle have at this point. They like they need Tina and Tara to get this, but Tina and Tara are they're not hearing it. And I think this is not great for Ro and Kyle. And, you know, I honestly think that this is going to this might be the downfall of Ro and Kyle. But if they keep on trying to nudge Tina and Tara this much, you know, trying to really poke at them, be like, hey, come on, are you guys with us? Are you guys gonna, you know, do this for us? And you know, if they keep on picking at them, I don't know if this is gonna really work out.
Yeah, this is like, have you done it yet? have you done the thing yet? Yeah, I've done it a few times. Well, okay, but it's just that, like, nothing has changed yet. So, like, are you sure you've done it? Did you do it right? What if you do it this way?
Like, and it's just like, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say to this guy? Like, we've tried this. There's, please just get off our backs, please, yeah, for the love of God.
And now the real anger comes from the fact that they have not been doing a thing and they don't want to get caught having not been doing a thing. But that's, they're trying to play off the, get off our backs. We've been trying. But Tara is pissed, and so Tara's gonna go to Vic, and of course Vic has been, you know, been told by Kiefer and them that, like, hey, they're throwing you under the bus, and she hasn't been happy about it. But it's really when Tara comes in that things really start to go off here, because Tara tells Vic that, hey, Kyle and Ro have been pitching for you to go up. They're trying to make us pitch that you need to go up. Like, I'm getting annoyed with it. And Vic is like, oh my God, I'm going to go confront them. Tara's like, well, you don't need to do that. But Tara leaves and Vic talks to the cameras and she's like, I want to blow up on them right now. But no, I'm trying to lie low. Trying to lie low this week. I need to be under the radar, but I do want to say something. But I shouldn't say anything. And then Ro pokes his head in the middle of this. And she, like, gives him a look and he's like, are you okay? She's like, yep. Are you sure? Like, what's going on? She's like, nothing's wrong. I mean, are you throwing my name out there to try to get me on the block? He's like, what? No, what? Of course not. She's like, oh, okay. All right.
Just a vibe I'm getting, but yeah, getting,
he's like, yeah, where did you hear that? Just getting a vibe.
Yeah. And then as soon as Rowan leaves, she's just like, oh, he's a liar. Mm-hmm. He's a liar. Yeah. I love the juxtaposition all day and just kind of like all this week where Vic is really just trying to be like, I'm just going to lay low this week. I'm just trying to lay low after what I did last week. I'm just trying to lay low, even though all day everyone's like, you know, Victoria is going to blow up tonight. Like, Victoria is going to, she's going to start some drama. She's going to start a fight. If not today, then tomorrow before the ceremony. Like, and it shows that, you know, maybe Victoria, it's impossible for Victoria to really lay low, but it's funny to just hear her being like, oh yeah, no, I'm just really trying to lay low this week. I'm really trying to. And then as soon as someone says something to her, she's like, oh my God. All right. That's it. I'm blowing up. House meeting tonight. We're going to all duke it out because I'm sick of this. It's a funny dichotomy.
And honestly, I mean, I don't think she should lie low. I don't think she can lie low. I do not think that Vic is as skilled a player as she thinks she is, but I do think that she needs to lean in to who she is. And I think that this sort of like, hey, she's going to be somebody that calls people out. She's going to be somebody that confronts people, that is always flipping and gaslighting constantly and lying all the time and, you know, changes allegiances based on the newest information that she received. Yes, that is a very dangerous player. And in most Big Brother games, she'd be gone in an instant. But in this house, she occupies a role that can be valuable because people, everybody in this house is so scared of being out in front. If she embraces that role and she stands out in front, then she may be, as long as she gets lucky without HOH outcomes like she did this week, she may be kept around as kind of this big shield. It's kind of the Rachel Riley effect of Big Brother 12. And you know, Rachel got a lot further than she maybe otherwise would have. And then something kind of similar happened in 13, but it is very different. We're not going to compare it to that. But like, if you occupy this space in a house where everyone else wants to lie low, everyone else wants to be, invisible because the house is so fluid that everyone is in danger, then people will keep her around for a little while. And then she might have a chance to like comp out or something, and then there's a chance that as if she doesn't burn enough bridges, then maybe they respect her enough to give her the win in the end because she was so out in front. I think that is, I want to say right now, I don't think anybody cannot win this game. This house is way too fluid for anybody to be completely out of it, and I think that Vic's path forward is lean in to the bombastic calling people out strategy, because Vic trying to lie low, trying to play anybody else's game, trying to play any kind of game is going to fail.
Yeah, I think the thing, like, I think the Sunsetters are really trying to, you know, nestle in Victoria into this like Josh Martinez spot where, yes, you know, she's really, you know, bombastic and again, out in front. But the difference here, I think, is that Josh was basically right until the end, like 100% loyal to Paul, kind of just did whatever Paul wanted. While I think if Victoria wins another HOH, it's basically whoever gets in her ear first and whoever's able to convince her of whatever she wants to believe to happen. Yeah. She'll kind of go with that flow rather than being 100% strictly loyal to what the Sunsetters are doing. So it's kind of like, you know, you're like holding on to a ticking bomb. You know, you're like passing this bomb back and forth, like the different alliances. And,
yeah.
And so it's basically whoever gets the bomb last, and then they're going to explode. I think that's kind of the spot that Victoria's in. So she's both a good person to have in the house because she's a big shield, but also she might blow up in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think Zach Rance is another decent comparison there. You know, there's definitely, like I said, I feel like that's the path forward for Vic. And it's definitely this was not what she wanted this week, but it is where she has ended up this week. So we'll see where that goes. Vic is going to then approach Ro and Kyle and say, guys, you throwing out my name? What's going on? She's going to confront them. This is not much of a confrontation because it's pretty low key. They're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. We're just so confused. We just don't know what's happening. And honestly, when I watched this, I didn't hear them ever actually, cause I was paying attention. I was like, wow, they're not even denying it. Like, yeah. They're just straight up like, oh, we're just confused. But she comes away from this conversation like, I can't believe the gall The audacity, she calls it the audacity.
Audacity.
The audacity of these two. They claimed they had never said my name ever. And I was like, I didn't actually hear that. It's possible that they did, you know, feeds cut all the time and like, maybe we missed something. But it was something that I had noted that like they didn't even seem to be denying it at all. But she is like, I cannot believe that they denied it. And this is just another one of those situations where like, I don't know where Victoria is on this. If it happened that they denied it, or if it didn't happen that they denied it, but she thought they did, or if it didn't, and she's just making up that, I don't know. But either way, she is now extremely pissed, extra pissed at Kyle and Roe. And she now has a new plan, which is at the veto ceremony, she is going to be calling out Kyle. And I'm assuming the same vein as the way that she called out Beth after the eviction that we still haven't seen yet.
Yeah. And again, this is something that's good on Kiefer and Ty, who are really right before she, you know, called out Roe and Kyle. They were really both like, yeah, you know, maybe you should call them out, you know, and maybe you should go do that. And they were really, really revving up those engines, really trying to get to go ahead and do it. And so I think that was a good plan. And afterwards, after she left, you know, Kiefer and Ty, you know, they were both dying laughing like, oh my God, wait, I can't believe she's about to do this.
She's doing all her dirty work.
Which I think that was a pretty good move. And again, that's how you can really weaponize someone like a Victoria. If you can kind of get her in this emotional state, she'll just kind of go off on whoever, you know, you want her to. But yeah, with that whole Roe and Kyle, you know, debacle after she blew up on them and then she left, Roe and Kyle were both just so stunned. Like, what were we even supposed to say to that? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, well, we have no options. Like, I don't even know. Like, they're kind of dejected. I don't know. It's kind of sad to watch him this week a little bit, especially with how things went last week. And we're like, oh, maybe they'll have, you know, have a good foot forward in the game. But now they're kind of just like, oh, man, this sucks. We're out of options at this point. It's kind of sad to see him like that a little bit.
The house really is starting to shift against Roe and Kyle now. And again, this house is very reactive to power and like where power is and where power isn't. And now that it's very clear that Kyle and Roe are on the outs, that Kyle will be going home this week, even if they're, you know, no matter who the replacement nominee is going to be, that they've lost Vic, that they've lost Tina and Tara. They are basically out on their own. The entire house is going to start to move in that direction. And that includes Ty, Jed, and Beth, who previously had been so scared of Kyle and Roe, so worried about offending them in any way. They are now coming around to the idea, okay, let's not miss our shot. Let's take out Kyle. Let's make this happen. Especially I think now that they feel, I think the Vic thing is what really solidified it for them, which is that like, okay, Vic is going to go off on Kyle and Roe. Vic is going to do our dirty work. She's going to take the heat. Okay. Now behind the shield of Victoria, we can take a shot at Kyle and Roe. But they still don't trust Austin. Austin is still on their radar. But Beth kind of still does think that she can work on Austin and Brayden. And there's a little bit of conflict there. Beth has talked to Jed yesterday about like what would you do next week? She would probably put up something like Tina and Tara with maybe like a Vic backdoor situation, and he would maybe do the same except with Austin and Brayden. And so there's a little bit of like a disagreement on like which pair would you target, Austin Brayden or Tina Tara. And Vic is always kind of like an expendable, you know, whatever. But that's sort of where they are with that. But I think that also, again, this is all just so temporary, because where does Roe fall in all of this? Does Roe blow up his own game this week? Is Roe going to be targeted at some point? Will Vic end up being targeted even more so? You know, who knows? Will Kiefer get into their ear about not targeting Tina Tara? Will Austin and Brayden start building relationships more with with the guys, which has been, you know, part of what they've been trying to do. There's just too much that is still up in the air right now. But again, that's sort of where they're standing at the moment.
Yeah. And even to add to that, you know, Beth, like you were saying earlier, like Beth is saying like, oh, yeah, I can work on Austin. I can bring in, you know, Austin and Brayden. And, you know, we might be able to take out Tina and Tara instead. But, you know, we're going to hear Austin later say that if I win HOH, I'm putting up Beth 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Austin and Brayden talked about throwing the HOH. They talked about going after Tina Tara, and then toward the end of the night, they were back around on the trio. Ty, Jed, and Beth are super dangerous. But then we're definitely putting up Kiefer if we win. And so like they talked about many, many things, but Beth was definitely one of the options, talked about for sure. And the thing is too, that Beth knows that Austin still can't stand her, but she still feels like, no, someday I'll be able to break through. And I think it's really the Brayden connection, because Brayden is able to pretend that he likes her, that is keeping her around here. So Kiefer is going to talk with Austin. This is when it should have happened, maybe even a little bit earlier. But this is when he should have just been like, yeah, you're going up. I've been hearing a lot about, you know, from different people. I've been hearing different people's opinions, and ultimately I've decided that you're going to the one that's going to go up. You know, you did do this to me. So, you know, hopefully, I do not mean to send you home. I will be doing everything in my power to make sure that you stay, so on and so forth. But instead, he just gives her this sort of like wishy-washy, like, yeah, I'm not sure yet, but don't worry, I'll tell you before. You'll be safe if something does happen, but I still just need to hear from some more people. If the feeds are down for the ceremony right now, like people are speculating in the chat, then I think he may not have ended up telling her and confirming to her before, unless he does it right when the feeds are down, which she is upset about because she knows that she's going on the block at this point. And just this morning, she was like, he said he would tell me. He still hasn't told me.
Yeah, like the Kiefer's whole approach is one that is a little bit good, but also like maybe a little bit bad too, you know, because he's kind of just beating around the bush on the whole thing. She just wants a straight answer. She's just like, am I safe? And he's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And she's like, all right, am I going up? And he's like, There's want for that for sure. There's and so because of that, you know, again, he's going with the approach that, you know, he's just a loyal soldier following what the house wants, what his allies want. And so because of that, he's kind of throwing Jed and Ty under the bus just a little bit. And so Austin's going to get a sense of that, which I think is good for Kiefer, because Jed and Ty don't really have Kiefer's best interest at heart. They tried to vote him out last week. So to be able to kind of throw your, you know, these allies under the bus just a little bit and deflecting all the blame off of you is, I think, a good choice. But again, his approach is kind of just like he's not really going at her as a straight shooter or as like a good sociable player. And it's kind of just making Austin uncomfortable. And so she clearly knows from this conversation, I might be screwed this week. I'm going up for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tina and Tara are actually going to be the ones to confirm to you're going up. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Just like, why wouldn't you just tell me? Tina and Tara are going to kind of propose to Austin and Brayden that like, hey, we need to stay together. We need to stay strong. You know, this oddballs thing clearly is going to get broken up a little bit, but we can come back together after all of this ends, right? And we need to. You know, everyone's talking about pairs, but Ty, Jed, Beth, that's a trio, and they are so strong. They are so dangerous in this game. The Tina Tara Austin Brayden connection is there a little bit. They're trying to make sure that can stay intact. This is what, like, things are shifting so much, but at the end of the day, it seems like my guess would be that things will basically fall back into place. That Ty, Jed, and Beth will be competing for HOH on one side. Tina, Tara, Austin, Braden, Roe, I think, will be competing on the other side. And then Vic is probably at the moment with the Sunsetters side, and would be targeting Roe, and maybe Austin. But you know, hard to know exactly, but I'm guessing that this is going to fall to a 50-50 again ish, except the former oddballs are going to have the advantage, because I do think Tina and Tara will be trying to compete in this one. And I feel like they will be going after the Sunsetters again at the moment, just because they are a bit too dangerous to be left in the game right now. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, this is the best guess I have at the moment. Things will solidify over the next few days, and we'll have a much better idea of what might happen in the next week as we start to see all of that.
Yeah, I think this conversation was great. I think it was able to show that, you know, the Oddball Alliance is able to go on without Kyle and Roe, and that Tina and Tara are going to kind of, because they were kind of in the middle before, but now we know that, you know, they might take the place of Kyle and Roe in a sense, where, you know, they're going to kind of be working with Braden and Austin and kind of solidifying that other side. So I think ultimately, you know, it was a good, you know, solidifying combo that I think has already been had before, but it's just strengthened it. So again, going into next week, we don't know what is going to happen. It just depends on whoever wins HOH, obviously. But I like that there's not one clear, like 100% target for next week. So that's what's fun about Big Brother.
And that's the thing too. Even if it does end up being the way I'm guessing, and there are two sides and it's like 4-4 or, you know, 4-3-1 or whatever it's going to be, who ends up being put up and who ends up being targeted is also up in the air. It's also dependent on which person on which side wins. Like, Beth would probably not target Austin Braden, not put them on the block. Whereas, you know, Jed might, and like, you know, Austin Braden would probably go after Kiefer Beth, whereas Tina Tara might go after Ty Jed. And so it's really all over the place, even if the guess is right, and it might not be right, and it might be completely different by Thursday. So it's very, very messy here in the Big Brother Canada 9 house. Phil, anything else that you wanted to bring up from yesterday?
No, I think we kind of covered everything. We talked about Audacity, which I thought was, I was just dying laughing at all day. Just her, she's like, the Audacity. So we brought that up. And so, yeah, I thought, yeah, we basically covered just the mess that was today.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today for the update. We'll be back tonight to recap tonight's episode, where I hope we will get the Beth call out from Vic after the eviction. And then we'll see what else we get from tonight's episode. I will also be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to watch the episode live with you guys if you want to join me. And that's what we have tomorrow. Of course, I'll be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. There should be another Victoria call out on Kyle during the veto ceremony, which might be happening right now. Kyle also plans, by the way, on calling out Kiefer in the veto ceremony. So that could also happen. And we'll have to wait and see how all of that goes. Things could be interesting today on the feeds. And then tomorrow night is the next roundtable, where we will rate these players and update the stock price. I've been saying this before, but like this is the most like I can't give anybody high ratings season I think I've ever had. But we'll see. It should be interesting. It should be an interesting week for ratings. I know a lot of people went in on Kyle this week, so expect some, you know, expect Black Tuesday, I guess. It's not going to work out too well.
Yeah, I've been coached by Mari Forth to just go all in on Tina. I've been doing that for the past like 2 weeks now, and now I'm not so sure what I'm going to do. But yeah, it's always fun to be in this position, I'd say.
Yes. Yeah. All right. That's what we got. That's what we got. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Phil, where can people find you?
You can follow me on twitter.com/listenupphillip. I'm not really tweeting that much, but you can follow me anyways. And then you can also follow me on letterboxd.com/PNTJR, where I'm always writing movie and TV show reviews if they're on there. I just watched the Snyder Cut and it's more coherent than the other movie, so I guess good job. but if you have 4 hours to kill where you're not watching feeds, maybe throw it on. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Yeah, I never actually watched the original because I heard it was bad. So maybe I'll watch
it. Abhorrent. Yeah.
I've considered watching the Snyder Cut. I like Snyder. He's nice. He makes some good stuff sometimes.
Me too. Yeah, he's a lot. All right. Yeah.
All right. That's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And I will see you all next time.